Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You got this in your head. This is what you're expecting, and it doesn't go the way you expected. And so now you're mad. And you're not willing to do what they say because they haven't lived up to your expectations. That was Naaman's mistake. And fortunately, he had some officers with him. And they said, if the prophet had told you some difficult thing you have to do, go to that mountain and crawl up to the top of it on your knees. If it had been something really difficult, wouldn't you have done it? He hasn't asked you to do something difficult. You see, the problem was not the task. The problem was Naaman's pride. You should remember the story referred to in John chapter 3 from the Old Testament during the Exodus, when the people of God had rebelled against God and God had sent poisonous snakes among them and they'd bitten them and people were sick and dying as a result. And in the midst of the plague, God told Moses to make a brass pole with the image of a serpent on it and put that where the people could see it and anyone who looked at it would live. And everyone who looked lived. But the way that's phrased, it makes it clear. There were those who refused to look. They would not look. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on him, call upon his name and you will be saved. Look and live. And yet there are multitudes of people, including many people in churches, who refuse to look to Jesus for their salvation. They are too busy trying to do it themselves.
Folks, today's message is one that is going to be shared in two parts, and the reason is it's just too good to miss a word. Normally, my staff has to edit out some of my anecdotes and undoubtedly some of my mistakes, but they do a great job making it fit. Even if I preach for 45 minutes, they give it to you in 24. And that's why it sounds like I have lots of good things to say. But today's message, we wanted to divide in two because I didn't share so many personal anecdotes in this one. It's much more just dealing with the text, and this is something where you don't want to miss a bit of it. So please listen closely to today's message from 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Naaman. It is very important for the days in which we're living. And then be sure and tune in tomorrow to hear part two. And if you're not able to, if you miss part of one of these messages, go online and listen there and share it with your friends. Now, let's get right into the message.
Well, as we said last time, we are between book studies, and so we're doing some individual lessons right now. And I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. One of my favorite Bible stories, 2 Kings chapter 5. This is God's word. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day, the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king of Aram told him. I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "This man sends me a leper to heal. Am I God that I can give life and take it away? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message: "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy." But Naaman became angry and stalked away. "I thought he would certainly come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and Pharpar better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why should I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, 'Go and wash and be cured.'" So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child's, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts." And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha refused. Then Naaman said, "All right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. When my master the king goes into the temple of the god Rimmon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow too." "Go in peace," Elisha said. So Naaman started home again. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, "My master should not have let this Aramean get away without accepting any of his gifts. As surely as the Lord lives, I will chase after him and get something from him." So Gehazi set off after Naaman. When Naaman saw Gehazi running after him, he climbed down from his chariot and went to meet him. "Is everything all right?" Naaman asked. "Yes," Gehazi said, "but my master has sent me to tell you that 2 young prophets from the hill country of Ephraim have just arrived. He would like 75 pounds of silver and 2 sets of clothes to give to them." "By all means, take twice as much silver," Naaman insisted. He gave him 2 sets of clothing, tied up the money in 2 bags, and sent 2 of his servants to carry the gifts for Gehazi. But when they arrived at the citadel, Gehazi took the gifts from the servants and sent the men back. Then he went and hid the gifts inside his house. When he went into his master, Elisha asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "I haven't been anywhere," he replied. But Elisha asked him, "Don't you realize that I was there in spirit when Naaman stepped down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to receive money and clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and cattle, and male and female servants? Because you have done this, you and your descendants will suffer from Naaman's leprosy forever." When Gehazi left the room, He was covered with leprosy. His skin was white as snow. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name and they laugh.
There is so much in this story. I mean, it's obviously a dramatic story, but there is so much. And I pray that God will help me to focus on the parts that are especially vital for us today. First of all, you can look at this as primarily a study of several characters. There are a bunch of characters in it, but several especially stand out. The first is Naaman. He's the one who's introduced. King of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him, that is through Naaman, the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. The Lord had given Aram great victories through the leadership of a military commander who didn't know the Lord. The king of Aram didn't know the Lord. The people of Aram didn't know the Lord. And they were not nice to Israel. I mean, these weren't the good guys. But the Lord was giving them victory. And the Lord was using someone who didn't know him or believe in him in order to give victory to a pagan king who worshiped a demon god. Isn't that something? If you think God is only interested in your life and not other people, including people who don't know him, then you really don't know what's going on. And if you think God is only interested in other people but not interested in you because you're just not that significant and you're not even sure you believe, you just really don't know what's going on. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from the Father's notice. And God knows what's going on in your life and in their lives, and he cares about all of us. That's amazing. So the Lord had given Aram, this pagan nation, great victories. But even though Naaman was a very successful commander and highly regarded by the king of his country, he suffered from leprosy. He didn't just have leprosy, he suffered from it. It was a problem. Leprosy was a dreaded disease, and it was incurable. It's a word that's used to describe a number of different skin conditions, but clearly, this was a dread disease that everybody knew no doctor could heal. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel. Did you get that? The pagans, the bad guys, invaded the land of Israel, and they took away some young people as slaves. Well, that's not nice. No, it's not nice at all. Well, you're not suggesting that was a good thing, are you? No, not at all. But God used this young woman's kidnapping and enslavement, which was a bad thing, God used it for good. Because she became an ambassador for the God of Israel. Because her response to her master and his wife was to care about them. Isn't that amazing? God used her for the glory of his name, even though she was a girl, not a woman, even though she was in a foreign land, even though she was a slave. You may think, I want to be a person of influence. I want to be a person who has, you know, great wealth and position. This girl was a slave, a young slave in a foreign land. And she had great influence. She had great influence that would reach all the way to the king of that foreign country. Because he too would see that Naaman was healed. She had compassion. She said to her mistress, while serving as a maid, as a slave, she said, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. She wanted good things for her master. What could possibly make a person love their enemies? What could possibly, well, Naaman must have just really been a super nice guy. Well, that is what it says. I'm not saying he wasn't a nice guy. I'm saying if you're a slave who was kidnapped and taken away to a foreign land, it takes a work of grace for you to want good for the people who are holding you as a slave. And yet that was the response of this girl. She clearly had faith in God. And she knew more about the prophet of God than the king of Israel did. Because when Naaman is sent to Israel with a letter and payment to the king of Israel doesn't say, wow, I guess we need to ask Elisha to help. He says, am I God? Well, clearly no. But only God can heal leprosy. And Elisha gets word that the king is all in a twitter. And he has torn his robes because he's afraid that the king of Aram is trying to provoke a war. I sent that man to you to be healed, and instead you failed. He says that must be what he's up to. He's trying to provoke a war. Now understand who this guy is. The guy who has just shown up in his court is the commander of an army that has been raiding their land and taking away slaves. This is a very interesting situation. But the king of Israel has completely misread it. And Elisha, who listens to God, responds by saying, why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him. He's upset. Naaman is upset. This is disrespect. He is a commander. He may have leprosy, and that's a serious problem. But he's still the commander of the army of Aram. And he's got a letter from the king, and he's already been to see Israel's king. Who does this prophet think he is? Let me tell you something. The prophet is working for somebody who is way above the king of Israel and the king of Aram. He is the king of the universe, king of kings and lord of lords. He's the boss of bosses. That's who Elisha works for, and Elisha does what his boss says. And so he sends a message because that's what God told him to do. And the message isn't, I'd like to help you, but I'm busy. The message is, go to the Jordan River and dip under the water 7 times. Wash yourself in the river going down under the water 7 times. And you'll be healed. That is the word of the Lord from Elisha to Naaman. And Naaman is mad. He's mad because he feels he's been disrespected. He made this long journey. He's got all these gifts. He's got an entourage. And he expects, having met with the king, he certainly expects that Elisha is going to come out and there's going to be pleasantries and you know, there's going to be respect shown to him. And he said, and I thought he would wave his hand over the spot and I'd be healed. He'd call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the leprosy and heal me. Have you ever had in your mind a picture of how God ought to do things? Or how somebody else ought to do things for God? Have you ever had in your head, this is what the preacher ought to say, or this is what the preacher ought to do, or this is what my parent ought to do, or this is what my house parent ought to do, or this is what my teacher ought to do, or whatever. You got this in your head, this is what you're expecting, and it doesn't go the way you expected. And so now you're mad. And you're not willing to do what they say because they haven't lived up to your expectations. You don't feel they've treated you with respect. And so you're not going to respect their word. You're not going to do what you're told. That was Naaman's mistake. And fortunately, he had some officers with him, some military officers who had accompanied him on this trip. And they said, if the prophet had told you some difficult thing you have to do, go to that mountain and crawl up to the top of it on your knees, if it had been something really difficult, wouldn't you have done it? And Naaman says, well, yes. And they said, well, then do what he said. He hasn't asked you to do something difficult. You see, the problem was not the task. The problem was Naaman's pride. You should remember the story referred to in John chapter 3, but from the Old Testament during the Exodus, when the people of God had rebelled against God and God had sent poisonous snakes among them and they'd bitten them and people were sick and dying as a result. And in the midst of the plague, God told Moses to make a brass pole with the image of a serpent on it and put that where the people could see it, and anyone who looked at it would live. And everyone who looked lived. But the way that's phrased, it makes it clear there were those who refused to look. They would not look. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on him, call upon his name, and you will be saved. Look and live. And yet there are multitudes of people, including many people in churches, who refuse to look to Jesus for their salvation. They are too busy trying to do it themselves. They think, if I can just do this, if I just do this, I'm going to stop doing that and start doing this, because they think salvation is something we earn. They think it's something we accomplish. It is what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. Look and live. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Folks, that's all we have time for today, but we're going to be back tomorrow with the conclusion of this message. And then our plan is to go back to just doing one text per message. That's the plan. I hope it works out. Stay tuned. Don't miss an episode. If you do miss an episode, look us up online. WVR.org has these messages available for free. You don't even have to sign in. You can just check it out online. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.